Good evening and welcome to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and a little bit later in the show, I have some Native American music, a couple of African American ballads from the turn of the 20th century, some bluegrass from a Colorado band with Wisconsin connections, and some bluegrass from Art Stevenson and Highwater. Also a bit of Russian folk music, a dash of Doc Watson, a song by Rodney Crowell, and a couple of early American songs from Joel Mabus. But to start the show out, something very special. Bill Malone is a nationally known expert on traditional American music, and he's based right here in Wisconsin. And he recently published a biography of Mike Seeger. Bill is also a radio host on WORT, Madison's community radio station, and he's a musician. He brought some musicians with him, the new Mad City Ramblers, which consist in this particular lineup of Hank Sapoznik playing banjo and vocals and Tim Meehan playing fiddle and vocals. We'll be talking about Mike Seeger and sampling some songs of the new Lost City Ramblers, and I hope that didn't get you too confused. Welcome.
Thanks for having us. Good evening.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Nice to be here talking about such an important fellow as Mike Seeger.
Yeah, it's time the world came to know who Mike Seeger is. You know, we know about his big brother and some of the other members of the family, but we don't truly appreciate Mike for all the great contributions that he made to American music. As a musician, as a collector, as a documentarian, as a scholar, he wore many hats, and he wore them well.
Well, what got you interested in him as a subject to write about?
Well, I always admired his musicianship, but back in the early 60s, when I set out to do my doctoral dissertation at the University of Texas in Austin, you know, there were very few sources and resources available for such a study. And so I was picking up information wherever I could find it, from Sears Roebuck catalogs and from record brochures and interviews when I could get them. But at about the same time, just a little shortly before, Mike and two of his friends, Tom Paley and John Cohen, had founded an old-time trio called the New Lost City Ramblers. And they were recording a great number of old songs that were taken from commercial 78 RPM records, old hillbilly records.
Mm-hmm. And the Carter family and some of those kinds of tunes.
Yeah, and the Skillet Lickers and Charlie Poole and the North Carolina Ramblers and Riley Puckett, just a great array of old-time musicians. And the Ramblers were the first people in the urban folk music revival to recognize this great body of music. And they were just about the first to recognize that commercial recordings were important sources for folk music. Heretofore, people had usually just gotten their music from old manuscripts and or from listening to other people sing.
Just passed down orally, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But since that time, we've come to recognize that the old 78 RPM record is a valuable resource. And it was invaluable for me when I did my my study. I borrowed heavily. That's a long way around of saying that I'm heavily indebted to Mike Seeger and what he had done. I borrowed from his music. I learned about a lot of people that I'd never known about before. I grew up with this music. And I was, I'd been listening to country music since I was a kid. When my parents got our first Philco Battery radio in 1939, we listened to the local radio shows and listened to the Carter family from the Mexican border. So I knew about all these people. But it was through the New Lost City Ramblers and Mike Seeger and through that important recording called the Anthology of American Folk Music, put together by Harry Smith, that the world opened up to me of a lot of other folks that I needed to listen to.
So you've been fascinated with him, it sounds like, for decades now, and finally wrote this book. Music of the True Vine is the name of the book.
Yeah, he was referring to the sources of most of America's music. He felt that it was that coming together of African-American culture and European culture in America that produced much of the great music that we now love, the blues and gospel and country and Cajun. And so to Mike, that is the true vine, the true source of American music.
Why don't we hear a little bit of a taste of that? What would you like to start with?
I thought we might start out with a song that tells us a little something about Mike and also about his famous family. His father, Charles Seeger, was a scholar, as was his mother, and together they went down to Washington, D.C. during the Great Depression, and they began collecting old-time music and began transcribing it. There was a great interrelationship between them and the Lomax family. So Charles Seeger, working for the federal government, had teams going out collecting music, and one of the songs they collected was a song from Virginia, which was called Colored Aristocracy. As far as I know, this song had never been recorded by anybody else until years later, when Mike Seeger, pulling up this old song he'd learned as a kid, recorded it with the New Lost City Ramblers. And it was done with Mike playing the fiddle lead. So we'll try to recreate that the best way we can. Colored Aristocracy.
City Ramblers doing the New Lost City Ramblers. That song is called Colored Aristocracy. I'm Stephanie Elkins. This is Simply Folk, and I'm speaking with Bill Malone, who has just published a book. He's written the biography of Mike Seeger. It's called Music from the True Vine, Mike Seeger's Life and Musical Journey. And if you'd like more information about that book, I've put a link up on our Simply Folk page, so all you have to do is look at simplyfolk.org, scroll a little bit down the page, and you'll see Bill Malone and a link to information about the book. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about his parents, and I was surprised to read that the background was so classical and so scholarly.
The Seeger parents, Charles, the father, and Ruth Crawford Seeger, the mother, were not only classical musicians, they were avant-garde classical musicians. They were interested in atonal music, or dissonant music, they called it. And they experimented with that for years. In fact, Ruth Crawford Seeger was a student of Charles Seeger before they married. But the turning point in their life came during the Great Depression, when a lot of people were becoming aware of the plight of America's working-class people. And Charles and Ruth felt what they needed to do was to find out what these people liked, what was important to them. And Charles got the opportunity to do that by getting a job in the Resettlement Administration in Washington, D.C. as part of the New Deal. And so Charles and his team of assistants began collecting the music. There were several things that encouraged Charles to change his direction. One was the coming of Aunt Molly Jackson to New York when they were still living there. And he was intrigued by this old mountain lady who sang the old-time songs and used them for protest purposes in many cases. And then he went to a musical in the loft of the famous painter Thomas Hart Benton. Benton had a hillbilly band. Benton played the harmonica, and one of the members of his band was Jackson Pollock, who was playing the jew's harp. And at one point,
kidding.
After when Charles was listening to this music, and Thomas Hart Benton went in the back and brought out an old 78 RPM record, and it was a recording of Doc Boggs doing Pretty Polly. And Charles had never heard this music before. And Thomas Hart Benton was surprised, in fact, shocked, that Charles Seeger had never heard this music. He said, you can't be interested in American folk music and not be aware of this great resource. And so this recording did a lot to encourage Charles Seeger to go into the collecting the music. And years later, not too many years later, in fact, the little Mike Seeger, who was just 6 or 7 years old, sat on the floor of his parents' homes and listened to these Library of Congress recordings and the few commercial recordings that his father possessed. And one of them that he listened to, of course, was this record by Doc Boggs doing Pretty Polly. And so that changed the family's life. And while Charles was collecting music, the mother, Ruth Crawford Seeger, was transcribing songs for the Lomax family when they were compiling the famous book, Our Singing Country. This is the music that Mike and Peggy Seeger heard as they were growing up. They didn't come up in a working class family, but they heard this music from the time they were 6, 7 years old. They sang it at home, and eventually Mike Seeger made it his life.
Well, and Peggy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't we hear another one?
Okay, this is another song that was important for the Seeger family. This the song was collected by the Lomaxes in about 1934 in Austin, Texas. They found a family, very poor family, living near Austin called the Gant family, G-A-N-T. So they recorded several songs from them, and one of them was a song that they'd never heard before, and I have no idea where it came from because it was never recorded until Max Seeger recorded it later with the New Lost City Rounders. It was called When First Unto This Country, and so we'll do that now. When first unto this country a stranger I came, I courted a fair maid, and Nancy was her name. I courted her for love, her love I didn't obtain. Do you think of any reason or right to complain? I rode to see my Nancy, I rode both day and night. I courted dearest Nancy, my own heart's true delight. I rode to see my Nancy, I rode both day and night, till I stole a fine gray horse from Captain William White. The sheriff's men, they followed and overtaken me. They carted me away to the penitentiary. They beat me and they banged me. They fed me on dry beans till I wished to my own soul I'd never been a thief. When first unto this country a stranger I came, I courted a fair maid, and Nancy was her name.
Bill Malone is the vocalist there, and Tim Meehan, the fiddle player, with When First Unto This Country. We're listening to music influenced, inspired, collected by Mike Seeger. And Bill Malone has just released a biography. He's written a biography about Mike Seeger, a tremendously influential man on American music today. And you touched on the Depression and how important that was. Are we still feeling the influence of the Depression in our music today, Bill?
There's still a lot of songs floating around that came from that period, not just in country, but in jazz and blues and Cajun, a lot of realms of American music. I think that music was one of the few resources that poor people had, and they sang to rid themselves of anxiety, just to keep the family together and contented as much as possible. Of course, radio was the most inexpensive form of entertainment that people could have at that time. And a lot of people who couldn't go, say, even to the movies or do much of anything else, they could turn on the radio early in the morning and listen to the hillbilly and the gospel shows, or at noontime when they come home from work if they had a job. And so this is the period when this music began to flourish. And it was, of course, very much alive by the time the Depression ended and World War II came along and made it possible for people to get jobs and have new opportunities.
So when the New Lost City Ramblers got started, it was the late 50s, early 60s when they really mm-hmm. got going. They resurrected an awful lot of that music, and it influenced a whole new wave of performers.
Yeah, they had an album called Songs from the Depression. In fact, most of the songs they did, I guess in one way or another, tended to come from the Depression years or from the 1920s, just before the Depression period. But they did an album of songs that came strictly from the Depression era. And I would hazard the guess that's probably their most important, the most influential album. A lot of those songs still endure. One of the songs they did has a very interesting history. It was written by the man that some people call the father of Southern gospel music. That was J.D. Vaughan, who had a publishing house in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. He was the first publisher to send quartets out on the road, too, singing the four-part harmony. Sometime in the early 30s, he wrote a song called No Depression in Heaven, which summed up the mood of a lot of people. They felt that, you know, we're never going to have much relief on this earth. And you can't really trust human institutions. The only relief you'll ever have is beyond the grave, you know. And so a few years later, the Carter family recorded the song and gave it some circulation. Then, years later, the New Lost City Ramblers, when they were making this album that I referred to, they also recorded it. And unbeknownst to them, a few years later, there was a young group of rock-oriented musicians down in Illinois who heard the song. They put out an album, and they recorded the song called No Depression. And the song just seemed to intrigue people so much that they began playing around with it. And a website was introduced. It's called the No Depression website. That was an opportunity for alternative musicians to correspond with each other. Out of the website, there then came a magazine called No Depression, which was the most important journal in the alternative music movement. It's now a website, I think, but for a long time it was the most important magazine. So that's the way it happened. It's really interesting, I think, what happens to these songs when they first introduced. They begin to have a life that nobody ever suspects.
They do. And isn't that what folk music is all about, where each person taking in the music gives it their own twist, their own feel, adds their own thing, and then it just spreads and evolves and changes. And some of the music just, you can recognize it, but it's a little different, and in some cases you can't recognize it. But
Sometimes over the years a song would completely take on not only a new life but a new form, a melody and a structure that its original author wouldn't recognize probably.
Right, right. Well, why don't we give that one a try?
Yeah, here's No Depression in Heaven.
This is the original version, how it would have been heard in the 20s or 30s?
Well, if we'd been living then, that's the way it would have sounded. The Carter family used a guitar lead, but you know, featuring the famous style introduced by Maybelle Carter. We're doing more of a string band style. Far fear the hearts of men are failing, for these elated days we know. The Great Depression now is spreading. God's word declared it would be so.
I'm going
where there's no depression, through a lovely land that's free from care. I'll leave this world of toil and trouble. My home's in heaven, I'm going there. Bright land, there'll be no hunger, no orphan children crying for bread, no weeping widows, toil or struggle, no shrouds, no coffins, and no dead.
I'm going
where there's no depression, to a lovely land that's free from care. I'll leave this world of toil and trouble. My home's in heaven, I'm going there. Dark hour of midnight nearing, when tribulation time will come, the storm will hurl in midnight fear and leave not millions to their doom.
I'm going
where there's no depression, to a lovely land that's free from care. I'll leave this world of toil and trouble. My home's in heaven, I'm going there. My home's in heaven, I'm going there.
No Depression in Heaven, the new Mad City Ramblers doing the new Lost City Ramblers. I'm Stephanie Elkins. This is Simply Folk, and I'm speaking with Bill Malone, who has lots of radio experience. You've got a great show for those of us in southern Wisconsin or in the Madison area. We can tune in on Wednesday mornings for Back to the Country. What kinds of music are you playing these days on your show?
I generally try to do music on a theme, if I can come up with a theme, you know. And I might do songs from the Depression. In fact, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to do songs from World War II, since we're coming. That's on the 4th of July, so it might be a good idea to play some songs about the war and from the war period. But I'll do everything under the sun, you know, cheating, drinking, prison, railroads. Railroads are very popular.
Yes, there's lots of material for that.
So I'll choose the theme, and then I'll go back and try to find the earliest examples that I can find and just bring them up through time. And I usually won't get past, say, Merle Haggard. But I do play some of the, we mentioned alternative. I'll play songs by people like Gillian Welch, mm-hmm. whom you're going to have on a little bit later.
That's
on.
That's right.
Irish Dement, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Tim O'Brien, mm-hmm. folks like that. But mostly it's the older classic country music mm-hmm. people as they're now described.
Mm-hmm. You've been a professor. You have a long history and very, very well-respected background in your field. And it seems like you're not quitting anytime soon. Do you have any new projects on the docket?
Well, right now I'm thinking about bringing my previously published essays together and seeing if somebody will put them out in an anthology. Hank and I have even talked about a string band music history. Hank's pretty busy, as you know, though. But if he ever finds time, we may just decide to go back and talk about those groups that influenced the New Lost City Ramblers and then discuss the mm-hmm. influence that the Ramblers had. And just right now there's a flourishing string band revival.
Oh, the Carolina Chocolate Drops mm-hmm. and those kinds. It's just wonderful what's
happening. And the Chocolate Drops, of course, are very good examples of that true vine mm-hmm. Theory that that Mike had. And my colleagues here, Tim is part of the current string band music revival. And, of course, Hank has worn several hats over the years. He's a klezmer, Jewish music expert, along with old-time music. A very, very unusual combination.
Well, I have to say, when he walked in this evening, I said, I saw you on stage Friday night. He was on stage singing a Yiddish song at the Stoughton Opera House with in the intermission with the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society of a classical music concert. So,
and he's coming up with this exciting Klez Camp.
Oh,
That's next week, isn't it? 2 weeks?
That's right. You've got Klez Camp coming up in the Madison area in 2 weeks, and we do have a link to that on our folk calendar. Just go to simplyfolk.org, and you'll find that. It's free, from what I understand. And if you'd like to go to camp and learn all about all things klezmer, that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And that's Hank Sapoznik, who is the banjo player this evening.
Yeah, what's exciting to me about Hank is that he has this great knowledge of Yiddish and klezmer music, but he's maintained his interest in old-time country music. And he's put out some Grammy Award-winning collections of the music of Charlie Poole and the North Carolina Ramblers, Ernest Stoneman, and a great collection of murder ballads. disaster songs, I guess would be the best way to describe it. Brother Take Warning? People Take Warning? Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that might be a good theme for a show.
Yeah, and Hank likes to sing those old-time sentimental songs from the turn of the century that started out as pop songs but became country songs and folk songs over the years.
Yeah. More traditional. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few of those. Well, what would you like to play next?
Why don't we do one of those?
Sounds good.
This is a song, somewhere there may be a record of who wrote it, I don't know, but we do know that Kelly Harrell is the person who introduced it. Popularize it to the extent that it is it's popular with us. And it's called The Shadow of the Pines.
Sweetheart, and leave me nevermore. sweetheart and love me as before. Back to me, sweetheart, and leave me nevermore. O'er life's dark pathways, the sun no longer shines. Come, love, and meet me 'neath the shadow of the pines.
Shadow of the Pines. Wonderful harmony there. And Bill, you're singing in a little bit of falsetto, it sounds like. Very nice. Very nice.
Trying to.
Well, and there's something just so comfortable about this music. It's toe-tapping, and it puts a smile on your face in general. Sometimes the subject matter is a little troubling, and sometimes it's uplifting. It's like any other song types, I suppose, but it really makes you feel good.
Yeah. I think even the troubling songs can be comforting.
Yeah.
They're sort of like in a cathartic way. You know, you for one thing, you find out other people have had troubles like you've had, and just by singing about sad things or tragic things, you can sort of rid your own heart out of them. At least that's the kind of effect that those songs have had on me over the years.
Oh, I have to agree. I talk about singing as my therapy.
Right.
If I don't get singing in a month or so, I start to get a little crabby, a little irritable, and all it takes is one good night of singing, and the mood clears right up. Well, we have time for just about one more song. Bill, what would you like to sing next?
We can go back again to the source of all this music. The string bands developed out of house parties, and house parties were held all over North America. And, you know, people would pull the furniture out of a room. Roll up the rug. And sometimes it was just one single fiddler. And they might add, if they didn't have other instruments, they just might use the human voices to sort of augment the sound. And even in families that didn't believe in dancing, who may have thought it was sinful, they weren't averse to just sort of shuffling around the room. That's particularly in play parties. And I think this particular song came out of the play party tradition, probably. It's called Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss. Crazy.
The new Mad City Ramblers with Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss. I'm Stephanie Elkins. This is Simply Folk, and I've been speaking with Bill Malone about his new book, which is called From the True Vine. It's a biography of Mike Seeger. And if you're interested in learning more, there is a link to the book at simplyfolk.org. And Bill, I have to say, when I met the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and you were there, you and I were both there to introduce them, and they were almost reverential about you and your influence in traditional American music. You are known as the expert, and your book about traditional American music is the Bible.
Well, I hope so. I hope that I've contributed a little bit to appreciation of the music and preservation of the memory of the people who made the music in the first place. I think that's one thing that the best contribution that Mike Seeger made is that he made us aware of people like Doc Boggs and Libby Cotton and the Skillet Lickers and Charlie Poole, the North Carolina Rattlers. All those, I think they may have been lost if it hadn't been for the work that he did. And I try to do the same thing on my radio shows and in my research and writing.
Well, we're very grateful for it, and it's a wonderful resource for us here in the state of Wisconsin, and we're pretty grateful. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for coming in.
And thanks for having us.
Thanks, not only to Bill, but also to Hank Sapoznik and Tim Meehan. We appreciate it very much. The new Mad City Ramblers with Bill Malone.